Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the VeggieTales logo? This is what people play when they're trying to like make fun of someone like heavy walking.
Oh my god!
This is awful.
Make you smile. Let's go.
What is this?
Drew.
Stop.
This is awful.
You watch this?
Yeah.
Still?
All right,
still?
No. This is from 1996.
We gotta talk.
Pause this and do me a favor. While this, I'm assuming. I'm worried that you now have bad taste in music because of what you listened to as a kid. Because the shows I had as a kid, Gold has a kid, some of those had some, like, hits. That is awful. Like, we played it once on this show. Can you, let me see if I can find it. Let me see real quick in the system because I gotta be honest, that is genuinely awful. We did a random question once where we played, like, cartoon theme songs. And we, like, had much better ones than this. Always funny. Never ceases to amaze. I was trying to see if we still had it. Nope. All right, so can you pull up, Drew, for me? Do me a favor, and we'll play it in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Pull up the theme song for the show Gummy Bears from the 80s. Then I'll show
we
you.
We have played this.
Then
before.
I'll show you what like cartoon theme songs can sound like.
I think I know. I know this song, I believe.
That song is bad. That song is really
from Disney, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just give me, yeah. I'll let you know what I have.
Unbelievable. That was awful, right?
Yes, it sounded like, something from kindergarten.
Well, yeah, it's meant for people who are, it's meant for kids like ages probably four to eight or 4 to 9.
Nine? My kid's not watching that. I got a 9-year-old. Not watching that.
This was made in 1996, so I think, the range is a little bit different now, but yeah. I think
maybe like 2 to 4. I don't want to say for sure, but
okay. By the way, I do have it ready.
Give me a real one.
Quick. Yep,
this is a palate cleanser. At least it has some musical quality, not just. This song's so silly. It has a key change in it.
All right.
Okay. Oh man, I needed you to get later in it because it's better when it hits the gummy.
Well, someone says you didn't get past the bridge of the other song either.
Yeah, you guys technically didn't even
that
get
song
to the
picks up speed.
You didn't get to the actual. Have we got a show for you? And then they jump into the chorus.
Hmm. How's the chorus go? Can I get
Veggie Tales? Veggie Tales. Veggie Tales.
They just sing the same thing over.
No, they start listing. They start listing like vegetables. Technically, broccoli, celery, gotta be. Vegetables, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Sounds awful.
Dude, yes.
Awful.
People on the text line, there's people on the text line who know what I'm talking about.
I feel bad for the eggplant.
It's an all-time drop. I mean, you got to get that saved in the system.
I will go back and find it, yes.
Anyway, by the way, because our professor forgot his materials
Unbelievable.
Snitch Line is coming back here in about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes.
Nice.
We'll have a Snitch Line Thursday. We haven't done it in a while. 913-586-7965. We're already heading out of direction today on the show, it sounds like. Anyway, anything you need to get off your chest, anything that you've
really
seen in your workplace.
I really needed to let my feelings be known about
Snitch
the
Line today in about 10, 12 minutes or so. 913-586-7965. Completely anonymous. Let us know what is on your mind that you need to snitch about, something you did, something you've witnessed. That's coming up in just a bit. But let's talk a little football, all right? As much as I would enjoy, or Drew would enjoy, talking more about eggplants, we need to talk some sports.
No, we are done.
Yeah,
let's talk some sports.
I think what stood out, and you and I both saw the same stat, and I think it should probably speak to our willingness and why I am still willing to wait to see what version of offense the Chiefs have this year. They put us out from Scott's Caxmar. He put out the number of times a quarterback has been without his number one and number two wide receiver option at the same time, whether it be for injury or suspension, but just missing your number one and number two wide receiver, which the Chiefs have done for each of the last two games. I would argue three games, although that's not a part of this stat.
Yeah.
And all the other times they've been out those guys throughout the season. Peyton Manning, zero times in his entire NFL career was he without his number one and number two options. Aaron Rodgers, one time in his entire NFL career. Drew Brees, twice, and zero games until year 20 in the NFL. Tom Brady, three times, and none until year 19 in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, 12. 12 times in his NFL career, and mostly over the last two seasons, he's been without his number one and number two wide receiver option in the same game at the same time. And he's still leading in every conceivable category and fastest to by the age of 30. And so it should tell you something that the offense can still be unlocked. The last 2 years, I'm not going to let drive me down yet. This year's offense can still be great. Not really good, great. But it starts with, can you be better than you were last week now that you got Worthy? And then 3 weeks from now, when you get Rashee Rice, can I see some instant improvement into the greatness category within a few weeks? That's how I'm going to judge them, I think, moving forward.
It puts it in perspective because, you know, if you just box score watch last year, this year, and, you know, like most things, context is required and it can kind of explain certain things. And to see that the future Hall of Famers on this list, you know, Tom Brady and Brees and Rodgers and Manning, not that they didn't ever have a playmaker out, but having your number one and number two wide receiver out at the same time, that's a pretty rare thing. Now, it's self-inflicted in terms of the suspension, right? This is not, you know, one's a fluky injury, the other one's a suspension that you knew was going to happen. And so, it, you know, three plays into the season, Worthy's hurt. Otherwise, this stat would not be 12. You know, it would be still way in front of Tom Brady, though, at three. Now, you can say that Patrick Mahomes should be able to continue to evolve and where some of this is not as daunting, but I'll still challenge any quarterback that's out there or anybody that evaluates their team as a fan or analyst or whatever. If you tell me that Josh Allen was down his top two weapons or Lamar Jackson was down his top two weapons,
if I'm on Rod,
what does that do? Now, Lamar, the argument would be Lamar with the running game. Maybe he actually is more equipped to overcome it because they don't rely on it as much. But if you told me Lamar was without Derrick Henry and without Zay Flowers, what's that offense looking like?
If he's no Zay Flowers and no Rashad Bateman, it would look ugly for every offense in the NFL. That's the part that is still kind of important to notice. I go back to Tyquan Thornton, who is a reminder, if anybody, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't watch a lot of Patriots football last year, the Patriots had no wide receivers. They had a young quarterback and no wide receivers and a desperate need to try to find somebody to go in there. Tyquan Thornton couldn't even get snaps for that team. He wasn't even on the field for the New England Patriots last year, partially because of injury, partially because he wasn't good for them. He had no touchdowns each of the last 2 years and a total of 17 catches. He leads the team in receiving. He's got 9 for 171. And a couple of scores already. And so he's making more out of it. And I don't 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl with a group of players who are either not active in the NFL or like the fifth wide receiver on their team. He won a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney not in the NFL, Sky Moore barely in the NFL. He won a Super Bowl with those guys. So yeah, I'll give it time with Worthy.
Sure. Somebody on the text line, 913-586-7965, says, hey, I don't understand why people believe Rice and Worthy coming back is instantly going to make this offense elite. Neither one of them are elite or even close to elite. But since we've been missing them, people hype them up way more than what they are. Look, I don't think Xavier Worthy's elite. I think Rashee Rice is potentially a top 20, 25 receiver in football. I don't think, and nobody should, maybe there are some people out there saying this, I don't think, this is where Cody and I disagreed yesterday, I don't think the Chiefs have to or are going to be a top five offense once they get Worthy and Rice back. But I think they can be vastly better than what they have been. Whatever they are now, what are they, like the 15th or 16th best offense in football?
20th in points per game.
Points per game, 20th, okay.
Yeah, better in almost every other category, so maybe 15th.
So let's say 20th points per game. That's, I mean, that's ultimately what we kind of look at. So 20th, all right. Can they all of a sudden be 10th with Rice and Worthy? Yeah, I don't think that's crazy to say. I do think it's a bit of a stretch to think they're going to be the number five offense in football in a month and a half. I think that's a bit much, but they are not going to be the 20th best offense in football, or the 15th for that matter, when Rice and Worthy are on the field at the same time. I'm sorry. No, I think they immediately jump up to 12th or 13th, and then as time goes on, they have a chance to be 8th to 10th. I really think that's in play.
I don't think I'd predict it, as in, like, it wouldn't be my official guess for how it goes down. I don't think it's a non-zero chance that this is one of the five best offenses in the league when they're all back. And, like, well, yeah,
it's definitely not 0%, but I think it's less than 20% chance.
That might be fair. Less than 20. I'd take that. One in five odds that this is a top five offense. Or we all view it that way by the end of the regular season. Yeah. Not in points per game, obviously. But where they are, because they're too far behind. But where they are at that time, honestly, that's the thing, though. It should still be the expectation. This is the fifth most expensive offense in football. It is the most expensive offensive line in football. That's the most expensive quarterback in football. So, like, it's not crazy to say, I'd like some expectation, please. And let's set one. Now that we know you have your guys back and your weapons back, the crazy part about this is what I kind of hate about their position right now. We can keep predicting it that way. When they get everyone back, they're one bad snap away from not having everyone back again.
Well, sure.
And then we're right back in this same boat of what can they be?
Yeah, because
what are they outside of that? Because, yeah, it just creates a different problem.
Somebody said they weren't top five last year. Yeah, but Worthy is in now. Rashee Rice was out by the end of week four, end of week three, and Xavier Worthy was a rookie and clearly got better as the year went on. So, like, nobody can. We have never seen Worthy and Rice on the field at the same time for an extended period of time, let alone with Hollywood Brown as well. So, like, anybody, like, good or bad, by the way, anybody acting like they definitively can say the offense won't be as better than last year. You can't say, well, last year they had them and they weren't top five. I don't think they'll be top five, but you can't use last year as the reason why they won't.
We never saw it. Were they top five for 3 weeks?
I mean, Rashee Rice was playing like a top five, top 10 receiver 3 or 4 weeks. Now, Steve Smith made a good point earlier in the week. We had the former wide receiver join
us. Yeah, was that going to continue? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was a 938-yard receiver the year before. Okay, so here's the simple math. The last couple of years, the 2 years before this one, and obviously this year so far, they have been the 12th best, and this year they're the 21st, and they were like the 13th best in those years. The wide receivers are the ones I mentioned. They were Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster. Not exactly murderer's row. If you're saying this can't be a top-ranked offense, let me tell you the last time they were a top-ranked offense.
Yeah.
It was the year of 2022. They were the number one ranked points per game offense in the entire NFL. Not terribly long ago, but obviously a little bit of time ago. They had one star catching footballs. It was Travis Kelce. He had 1,338 yards. So they're not going to get that. Juju was the next leading receiver at 933. That feels like the Kelce role. MVS was next with 687, McKinnon with 512, Justin Watson with 315, and a bunch of other guys with a couple hundred yards receiving. If Rashee Rice is a dude again, all the other numbers I just mentioned, those fill in nice. They fill in real nice with all the numbers I just gave you, in the sense that that's why I don't think it's off the table that they would end up there.
I can't imagine them somehow getting to the level that you're saying, though. Unless you tell me they acquire a different back, or Breshard Smith is a bigger factor, or magically Isaiah Pacheco figures it out. Like, remember some of those years.
I want to look up how they ran that year now. Because even
when they focused in on, you know, Rice, they still had some sort of complimentary running game going. Right now, you would admit, like, Pacheco's not the same player he was 2 years ago.
Well, 2022, you know? He was their leading running back at 830 yards. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry.
So who's that going to be this year? You know what I mean?
It would have to be Isaiah Pacheco.
Or an outside piece.
That seems unlikely. Yes, or an outside piece. So that might be the one missing element. The receiving element I can find. The offensive line part, it can be as good as 2022's offensive line. I can find that. The question is whether or not we think the running game can be as complimentary. And I don't know. If they got every single weapon imaginable running out on the field, even if I think Isaiah Pacheco's game has flaws, and it clearly does,
mm-hmm.
I would think his job gets easier for Shea Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, Hollywood Brown, and Tyquan Thornton are all out there together.
I'm a little worried, as much as I obviously thought he was going to have a nice year, and clearly it looks like that's wrong. I'm a little worried that maybe Pacheco just doesn't have it anymore. You know, I thought being fully healthy throughout camp, getting back to what he was, I thought that was all going to work, and it just has not shown itself. And now you start to wonder if it's just the running back shelf life hit him, and he's just not the same player. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he goes out there this week against the Ravens and has 91 yards rushing and a touchdown, and we can all say, all right, it's still there, and we all, you know, we can feel a lot better. But I'm a little worried that that's just not there anymore, that the top back for this team currently is Kareem Hunt. And that's also not sustainable all year, just given his age. I don't think he can hold up across another 14 games or more than that, honestly, but with the postseason, if in fact they get there.
The Snitch Line.
One of the two greatest things in life, never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut.
Where snitches mostly get away with it.
You are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
The Snitch Line on Cody and Gold on Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5, The Fan.
It's been a while since we did the Snitch Line. You know what? Again, because Professor Tapp over here.
Unprepared for class.
Not prepared. I said, you can't just reschedule class. We're done for the week. We're done for the week.
I can't reschedule. It's canceled.
We don't go to class on Fridays.
Yeah, we're not.
We don't go to class on Fridays.
That's fair. No school on Fridays.
Yeah. So you have to wait.
I actually respect that decision.
You're going to have to wait until next week. So let's do a little Snitch Line. 913-586-7965. Something you've witnessed, something you've been doing, something you need to get off your chest. Now is the time to do it here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's start us off. This is from the 913. Drew, you're going to the races this weekend, or the race on Sunday, I think it is, in particular. I know you're not going Saturday, but Sunday for the NASCAR playoff race. This is from the 913. It says, we go to NASCAR when it comes to town. This person says they've been lying and selecting military
stolen valor
ticket discount for years because they're way cheaper. It goes on to say the people running this are too dumb to check for IDs and never have made them enter anything when purchasing or at the gate.
They're
this
going person, the honor system.
Look, it's one thing if you're trying to fake the senior discount. You're out here faking that's some bad karma. Really bad karma. You're faking the military discount. That's too far. That's too far. You can't do that.
Somebody was also saying that they like ran a Didn't they say they accidentally ran somebody's NASCAR trailer off the road earlier today?
Wait, what?
Somebody said that. I don't know if that was someone asked.
Wait, like a trailer that's hauling the vehicle?
That's what they were claiming.
Yeah, somebody asked if I was a Kyle Busch fan. I said no. They said, well, I just ran his trailer off. Like
Kyle
Busch's
trailer's in the ditch on 70 right now.
Let me.
That's just
be
what
a
this
crazy
person
story.
Was claiming. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Don't. That's one of those. You can't
how much
be
cheaper.
Yeah. Are you
how
saving?
How much money are you saving?
You saving $8? What are you saving?
Yeah. That's
messed up.
Yeah,
should we go find out?
I don't like that one. I don't like that one. 913.
Yeah. There might be tickets available.
586-7965.
Are they usually sold out? I don't go to NASCAR races very often, so I didn't know.
Yeah. Wherever. People are not happy with this guy on the text line. Some people that obviously did serve the country are not pleased with this gentleman or whoever.
I would think even if you didn't serve, you'd have a problem with it.
You can't be selecting the military discount. Come on. That honestly,
I'm not surprised I'll say that they don't check.
Yeah.
Because I bet that they're like, what, every person that's I scan, I'm going to check a military ID?
Another one says they saw you cut in line in front of a homeless man at a soup kitchen.
It's not true.
Man, the morals are low right now on the text line.
That's what they should have said.
When was I at a soup kitchen?
You tell me.
Not recently.
You tell me.
I have some soup at a soup kitchen before, but it's been
of the three
someone
of us,
said they
you
were
would
at
go to a soup kitchen though more than Golder.
In what way?
Yeah, exactly. I was at the
because you're the food guy.
Well, that's not what it.
That's not what
that's
a soup
not
kitchen
what a
is.
Soup
kitchen
is
like
for
serving
homeless,
the unhoused.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought it was like in Seinfeld where they have the actual the actual
that's
shop.
Not what a soup kitchen is.
Well,
that's soup kitchen is for. Those
sorry
less
about
fortunate.
That. Sorry about
in
that.
In need of a meal.
Sorry about that.
Let's see. Where were we?
I did not cut in front of anybody, to be clear.
Jeez.
Now someone says they're an eggplant. They'd appreciate if people would stop using me as an emoji. They agree with Drew. Someone else says they've been raiding the break room refrigerator for about 3 months. They have not had to buy lunch for the last 3 months. They've saved themselves roughly $195.
I don't know who it is, but that might be someone in this very building. Earlier today, I went out to the main area and like the kitchen area. And the lovely person who works in our office, Joe, had posted yesterday in our office email, said, hey, there's enough food left over from our lunch from a Mexican restaurant yesterday that people can have lunch tomorrow. Just letting you know it's in the upstairs fridge. Guess what happened? She said someone took all of it. Every chip.
What?
Every piece of meat. Every taco. It was a mountain of food, and they took it all.
And when?
Cleaned it out. She said either overnight or early in the morning.
They were donating the food?
Who's to say?
So I just took all the food home?
Took it all home.
I mean, they did send an email, but...
They didn't say for you to take all of it. I mean, you know, have a little courtesy here.
Yeah.
They took all of it, every single piece. And then I said, well, is there a chance that maybe it got thrown out by, like, you know, the cleaning person? And she said, no. She checked with her, and she doesn't throw anything out of the fridge unless confirmed by us. So someone in this building took every piece of leftover food that was meant for the entire building home.
Yeah, that's messed up. That's messed up. Someone says, in Drew's defense, there is a restaurant in Wichita called Soup Kitchen. That's clearly what Drew was thinking
that's
of.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly the spot Drew was thinking of. No soup for Drew.
Well, that's why I said the Seinfeld reference when Cody brought it up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you. Let's see. What else we got from
the
Stitch
line? I
do
use a teacher's discount sometimes.
Well, you are. That's
on some of the website.
You're a teacher.
I don't feel like it really counts most of the time. Like, I don't feel like I'm a real teacher, if that makes sense. It feels like it's meant for the people who are in the trenches every day, and I'm just, I show up twice a week.
913-586-7965. Someone says, when they were 17 or 18, their half-brother and them and cousin were eating Hardee's in the parking lot on Independence Avenue. Across the street was UMB Bank. I think it was a Saturday. They noticed people were inside robbing the place, jumping on counters the whole 9 yards. We saw police cars drive by like nothing happened. We were just laughing. It was 3 in the middle of the day. So you didn't call to report the robbery.
Jeez.
Interesting. Is what you're snitching on? Is that the snitch?
I guess so. From the 816. All right. Said my wife had surgery
okay. The
other day, and I had to take a couple of days off of work for her during recovery. She slept through most of it, so I took the opportunity to get some extra boozing while she was asleep. I ended up being drunk without my wife knowing it while I was supposed to be watching over her.
Huh. Your wife is fine, though?
He's like, yeah. Said, well, then, I'm just supposed to keep an eye on her. He's like, you know what? She's sleeping all the time. Party, party, happy time. Little day drinking for me. Well, she
as long as everything turned out all right, you know? Mm. Someone's blaming the afternoon show. Someone else is blaming the morning show. I don't think anybody from our station
I'm just
took
saying
the food
happened.
Out of the fridge.
I don't know.
Remember, there's other stations, other people in the building. I don't think it was anybody here.
Someone took every piece. She said there were like two gigantic bags of chips, like family-sized bags of chips, and they took all those.
We've got more detail. JT, our former intern, who's obviously a part-timer at the station, he said someone took it all last night. He didn't get any while he was working. He was there. It was there when he got here at 4:40. By 7:15, it was gone.
I have a new. I'm not going to say who. I have a new prediction of who I think it is.
Kay. Someone on this side of the building?
Yes.
Someone from this station?
No.
Oh.
Okay. If you made me rank out suspects now, I have a lead suspect based on that timing given to us by our former
intern. People
are
calling out names.
JT. Now I'll say 4:15. We were all gone. We've all been cleared. Morning show's now been cleared of this crime. It was here at 4:15. It was gone by 7:15. We can clear a lot of suspects in this. Can't blame like Laszlo over at The Rock. He's gone by then.
The new morning show
and The Wolf is gone by then. We've narrowed the suspect pool down to about 8 people, I would say.
Text line, someone says they wondered why they saw CDOT carrying a large bag of Mexican food out of the station last night. I'm not. Man. That's you guys. Someone else says it's the morning show. Someone else says it's Parks.
Someone says
KMBZ. Someone says Bink. Someone says you don't think CDOT would take a bunch of food. someone else saying that they used to work at that UMB bank. That person, they said, is lying from the earlier text.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it feels like we're all over the place.
Yeah.
With this
someone snitching and then someone lying on the snitcher. Very interesting.
Someone says, find out who's having a football party this weekend. And that's who took all the food. Leftover, 3-day-old Mexican food on Saturday.
Quite the host. Yeah. Quite the host they are.
That is a snitch line Thursday here on Cody and Gold. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, plus our conversation we had a little bit earlier today with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. We asked him about Worthy in this offense and what the Ravens are going to have to deal with.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
What's trending?
The Royals continue their series in LA against the Angels tonight. Remember, down to just four games left in the 2025 season. It'll be crazy. Michael Lorenzen on the bump. 8:38 first pitch tonight. Vern's on deck show at 7:30. And after talking to Vern yesterday, yes, I will have a bet during pregame for him. The final one of the year. Final one of the year.
Long shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three people all hitting a home run parlay.
Get it in. For Vern's pregame show, it's definitely going to be a parlay. I can promise you that. I don't know what it'll be yet, but you're right. I'm not just going to do a standard money line bet. There'll be a long shot. At least 10 to 1 or worse.
Yes, exactly. Next up on What's Trending, Xavier Worthy is a full participant in practice yesterday, is back on the practice field again today. Everyone will practice once again for Kansas City, according to the Chiefs earlier today, which means Mike Dana, Christian Fulton, Xavier Worthy, and others will be available. We won't know until the practice report comes out later this afternoon who was a full participant. There were only a couple who were limited participants. That was Mike Dana and Christian Fulton. Everyone else is a full participant, so hopefully right back to that today.
Some other NFL news on the business side. The Patriots have reportedly reached an agreement to sell a stake in their franchise at a value exceeding $9 billion. So there's two groups, 6th Street buying 3% and Dean Metropolis for 5%. So they're selling 8% of the team at a valuation of $9 billion. So yeah, over $500 million is essentially what Robert Kraft's going to bring in.
Yeah, $450 for 5%, so like $600 million is what he'll get in cash for selling 8% of his team. Yeah, seems okay. Big money in the NFL, obviously. Update on some injuries in the NFL. The Jets said that Justin Fields will return to practice today, although he is still in concussion protocol. He's just in the part of concussion protocol that he can actually return to practice.
Yeah.
Not yet cleared to play for Sunday. But also the San Francisco 49ers said Brandon Ayuk is, quote, not close to returning, according to Kyle Shanahan. Said more damage than just the ACL and more recovery time is needed. I don't know about not close. That doesn't sound very good for the 49ers. They're going to be without Brandon Ayuk for a little while.
Yeah, that's a team that's just so beat up. Yet they're 3-0. They found a way
to
get
to... Who they got this week?
That's a great question. I do not know who the 49ers have this week off the top of my head.
I just thought... I thought it was like a kind of a bad team.
Who is it?
It might be one of... Oh, Jags.
Okay.
At home, for what it's worth.
They're like 2.5-point favorites or something.
3.5.
3.5. Lastly, on What's Trending, Roger Goodell was doing an interview for CNBC as the NFL is in Dublin, Ireland, Sunday morning, Steelers-Vikings. He said a streaming Super Bowl could happen down the road, and obviously a overseas Super Bowl is on the table. And look, it's going to happen at some point. I'm very anti-overseas Super Bowl, but I recognize it is something probably in the next 10 years or less. It will happen. I think we all recognize, therefore, a streaming Super Bowl will happen.
The streaming Super Bowl
doesn't faze me that much because it's just, as we continue to evolve, like, that's just where everything is trending anyway. Like, we're already watching so much on streaming platforms. If your team is in the Super Bowl, they will have to make it available
locally
too. So, you know,
I think that's the first streaming Super Bowl. My guess is that it's both. Is that they make it worldwide on YouTube and take their check, but it's also just like nationally on ABC.
Yeah, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we had Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, join us on the show. He, of course, will be on the broadcast Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead here on 96.5 The Fan, along with Mitch Holtis and Josh Klingler. Pre-game coverage starts 3 hours before kickoff with Josh Briscoe, then the broadcast of the game, and then, of course, post-game with Briscoe as well. Josh will join us tomorrow, but Danan Hughes' conversations with him are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We started our conversation with Dane and asking him about the deep ball and whether or not he believes it is back in this offense.
I think so. I think Patrick addressed it, and I thought it was well spoken in regards to the confidence and the correlation between the confidence of protection and the willingness to take what's downfield. And I've always been a strong advocate, and maybe this is the part of me as a former wide receiver. I've said it during the broadcast. The main thing I always wanted at the college level. I didn't play wide receiver in high school, but at the college level and at the pro level, I wasn't a burner. I wasn't going to pull past anybody, but I always wanted the quarterbacks to have the confidence in the ball will either be incomplete, but it won't be intercepted. Like, just if you feel like throwing it up to me or if you want to give me a chance on 50-50 balls, just know that it's not going to be intercepted. And I feel like Patrick has garnered enough confidence with Tyquan Thornton especially that he's willing to give him a chance. I mean, to go to him back-to-back plays like he did against the Giants, if there's no other example of confidence, that's one. I mean, to do it in that fashion, in those circumstances, tells you about the confidence that he has in Tyquan. And I like that component of our offense. I mean, if we're not going to have big hitting plays in the run game, we got to figure out, and I've said this from the offseason, we had to figure out how to get chunk plays offensively. And if that's going to be by way of through the air, then I'm all for it.
Xavier Worthy obviously can change some things for them on Sunday. He was a full participant yesterday. I know we all thought maybe he was going to play last week, but now that he's a full participant, I think at this point people are even more confident that he's going to play his first game since week one. What does that do for this offense and the advantage maybe that exists only having three plays on film in 2025 of him?
I think it's huge. I think that you go into the OTAs through the preseason, when you come out healthy, you kind of knew that Rashee Rice and that whole situation was going to unfold similar to what it did. And when you come out of the preseason, you say, you know what, we got that guy healthy, we got that guy healthy, we got this guy healthy, and oh, by the way, we got this diamond in the rough in Tyquan Thornton. I feel like you probably generated game plans for the ability to stretch the field and to utilize Xavier Worthy. And the one thing I'll say about Xavier is what was most impressive about him last year as a rookie was how quickly he was able to absorb the offense. Think about what we were throwing his way in the first quarter of the season, the first game of the season, and what he was able to do with it. It wasn't about, hey, let's bring him along slowly. It was about, hey, you're smart enough to absorb everything. So we got you going in motion. We got you shovel passes, jet sweeps. We got you running the whirly world motion. We got everything and we're throwing at it, and it didn't look like it overwhelmed him. So to me, the encouraging part of it, not only did it not overwhelm him, but he was able to flourish. 9 touchdowns last year, stretched the field. We saw it in what he was able to do in the Super Bowl against the Chargers early in the season as well. And I wanted to see what that sophomore campaign would look like. What were we going to get with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid having 4, 5, 6 months to generate opportunities to expose Xavier Worthy? And I think we got shortchanged up to this point, obviously, but I like the idea that now that he's healthy, we're going to get a glimpse of what they had in store for us back through June and July and August.
Danny, you've been around a lot of players, so I'm not saying that on paper things can't be fixed. We heard Jeff Schwartz talk about Juwan Taylor's penalty issues. Like, he can fix him. He can line up onside. At this point, Dane, and I start to think it is an unwillingness to fix it, not an ability to do so, if that makes sense. And Andy, I think, all but admitted they're willing to accept the penalties, knowing how good of a pass blocker he is. Do you think that Juwan will ever go about fixing some of the lineup issues, or is he just accepted that the risk is worth it for him, knowing that if they don't call it for him most of the time, he gets the advantage he feels like he might need?
I think it's a mixture, and I'm not trying to dodge the question. I think it's a mixture. Here's the one thing. You guys play cards. I heard you guys talking about ping pong, but you guys have played cards and sure, poker at different times in the past. The first hand, you don't show your tell. The second hand, you don't show your tell. Most good poker players, of what I've heard, are waiting 2, 3, 4 hours into playing poker to recognize tendencies. I feel like Juwan Taylor, like, if he's offsides on the first series, then to me, that's a lack of focus. But everybody goes back to their normal routine, their normal approach. When you start getting a little tired, when the game gets a little longer, when the drives get a little longer, that's when you go back to what's normal for you. And what's normal for him is trying to get that jump. I will contend that more times than not, when he jumps with the ball, and he is just quicker off the ball than everybody else is. So it looks more egregious because he's quicker off the ball. I'm not saying all the time, and I'm definitely not giving him any excuses. But there are times where he's moving with the ball when everybody else is not moving with the ball. Having said that, on the other side, I played with Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. Those guys would get double-digit sacks, and every once in a while they'd be drawn offsides. We take it. When the offense is sputtering and we're not scoring at the clip that we want, I think it's more glaring of an issue. But if we can get to a point where we're scoring in the mid-20s and back up above 30, I don't think anybody's really caring about the one or two penalties if he's protecting the front side of Patrick Mahomes. It's just when it's going bad or when it seems like it's a negative play that throws us out of field goal range or puts us in a predictable situation that it kind of opens up everybody's eyes. So if Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and the offensive staff is okay with it, I'm going to trust them. I just like for it to be cleaned up, but I also know that it's a tendency thing. It's one of those things where later in the game, as you get tired, you start to lose focus on specific things, and that's when it happens.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. What about what you've seen from Baltimore? You know, they're putting up points. The offense has definitely not been a problem other than Derrick Henry's fumbles in crucial spots. Defensively, though, they've got some major problems there. What are you seeing from Baltimore where I feel like nationally people are talking like Baltimore's 1-2 and oh, they'll be fine. They'll be good and all this. And people are way more negative towards Kansas City being a 1-2 team.
It's interesting because I cannot ever think there's very few organizations in professional football that have an identity that has lasted decades, that lasts year after year, coach to the next coach, quarterback to the next quarterback, leadership to the next leadership. And Baltimore is one of those that when you say Pittsburgh, when you say Baltimore, you speak defense. That's what they've been able to sustain since they came into the league. And to look at their numbers and see them 32nd in the NFL in yards per game, 31st in points per game, 30th in rushing, 31st in passing, like, I feel like we're in the twilight zone, like, to some extent. And it's I'm sure it's definitely something that they are having a tough time digesting in Baltimore. That's just not the Ravens' way. I'm assuming they're going to try to correct it, and they're going to look to this opportunity to change things around defensively. But offensively, I mean, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. They have some weapons. You can expect Derrick Henry to try to come out and prove that three fumbles in the last three games and costing them two games because of it is not who he wants to be or who he wants to be remembered as in a Ravens uniform. So we're going to have our hands full against their offense, but the defense with their injuries, there's some opportunity for us there. And we cannot allow this game to be close and in a close game, low scoring, and that plays into their hands. And so we got to open up the gates a little bit, get them in predictable situations, keep Derrick Henry on the sideline so that they're throwing the ball more and spy Lamar Jackson, and we'll come out with a win. But take advantage of a wounded defense has to be at the forefront of our minds this week.
I thought it was interesting you said there towards the end, Dane. And so do you think, maybe I misheard, you think a lower scoring game favors Baltimore more than Kansas City?
I think so, because okay. I think if we're not scoring offensively, we're playing into the confidence build that their defense needs.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So they've given up what, you know, you're talking about yards per play, 5.76 yards per play. They're giving up 32 points a game. So if they come in here and we're in the fourth quarter and it's 17-14, like there's a confidence build in that they can say, you know what, we're finally doing our part. Look at our defense and what we've done in the first 3 weeks. Well, we can look back at specific games. The Giants game was relatively close until the fourth quarter. To some extent, the defense on the sideline could be like, hey, guys, we're doing our part. We gave up 9 points. And there could be a confidence boost in that. And now you're looking at the other side. Now do your part. So I don't want the Ravens to have any of that come Sunday afternoon. I want them to be still questioning the identity of their organization when they leave town about 7:30.
I know that they wanted Christian Fulton to be in the mix in order to allow Trent McDuffie to move around. It feels like anytime Jalen Watson is healthy, I'm reminded, oh, cool, they're fine at corner just as long as he's available. It's when he's not available that they're trying Williams or trying Nazee Johnson and like moving things around that make it look like a problem. It seems as simple as when Jalen Watson is healthy, they can stop anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think he's definitely a solid number two corner. He's very physical. He understands the scheme that Spags is trying to play. I like his presence in the blitz game between he and Trent McDuffie. You go back to that Eagles game, and I think I mentioned it last week. When you talk about putting your foot on the gas pedal from the beginning, we had every defensive back blitz in the first series of that game, except for Brian Cook, who was playing center field as a free safety. That tells you about the confidence, but it also tells you about the versatility of guys like Jalen Watson. Now, Christian Fulton is a huge asset because, one, we didn't know what we would have in Noah Williams. We didn't know what a rookie would bring to the table, being isolated man-to-man on an island opposite Trent McDuffie. And he stepped up and he's played well, but he's still a rookie. What Jalen Watson being healthy does, as well as Christian Fulton, if he's able to get back on the field, it allows Trent McDuffie to move inside. And he is one of the more dangerous slot corners / blitzers in the NFL. But if either of those guys are hurt, now you're relegated to have Trent playing more outside, which takes away that aspect of our defense. Yeah, having Jalen Williams be healthy is great. Having Noah Williams, Jalen Watson being healthy is great. Having Noah Williams be a guy that can be depended on and grow as a rookie, and then if you're able to get Christian Fulton back in the mix, like that makes our complete defensive backfield very, very formidable, one of the tops in the league.
Danan Hughes earlier today with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Interesting. Again, he thinks actually lower scoring favors Kansas City. I get what he was saying in terms of the confidence it could give to the Ravens defense. I don't know if the Chiefs can get to 30 plus points scored offensively. So that's where I would assume it hurts them. But watch this. Watch on Sunday the Chiefs win a game 38-31, and then all this is thrown out the window.
And Danan's right.
And that would be amazing.
I prefer a game in the 20s.
I would too. Now, if they got the 38 and there wasn't a defensive score or two involved, I would say, well, this offense all of a sudden, okay, the offense is rolling again.
Only needed Xavier Worthy back. Didn't even need Rashee Rice.
And then I would really think the Ravens defense just flat out sucks if that happened.
Yes. And honestly, it would say more to me about the Ravens defense than it would about if all the issues for the Chiefs offense are solved just with Xavier Worthy back. I'd be like, boy, the Ravens defense is the worst. The end. I don't know that I would look at it any other way besides that. I will say, Gold, I want to ask you a piece of what do you think it'll end up going down? When, maybe like a month ago, you and I were talking about Major League Baseball MVP to find out that Cal Raleigh was not the favorite at the time. So I bet it at that time because I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. Cal Raleigh should be the MVP. You know what? I almost bet it out of principle because I felt like it's the year of Cal Raleigh. Why wouldn't he win?
Doesn't guarantee it a win, though.
I know, but like, why wouldn't he be? Are they going to actually give him this award? He has 60 home runs.
He better get it. He's minus 220 now to win AL MVP.
That's not high enough.
Judge is plus 170. I've already seen the narrative out of New York. They're already laying the groundwork that, oh, this will just be an anti-Yankee bet or, you know, anti-Yankee vote if you don't vote Aaron Judge.
Anti-Yankee.
Now, I will say there was a breakdown someone gave. I thought they made a compelling case for Judge. They did bring up, like, as much as we said, hey, defense should matter, in fairness, in WAR, Aaron Judge has a higher WAR this year. He has
but
a higher.
WAR didn't matter last.
I know. I'm with you.
But they just keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah. So
with the Bobby stuff,
there is a case to be made for Aaron Judge that's not ludicrous. Is all I'll say. However, it absolutely should be Cal Raleigh. I'm just saying I don't think it'll be this complete malpractice if Aaron Judge were to win. But it sure as hell is not malpractice on the voters. If Cal Raleigh wins, he should absolutely win this award. He is the favorite right now. And on the NL side, it's been Shohei Ohtani all year. He's minus 5,000.
Just give it to Cal Raleigh. He had 60 home runs as a catcher. This is not a hard decision.
The NL Rookie of the Year is going to be Cade Horton or Drake Baldwin, it looks like.
I don't know why those Cade guys play for.
Drake Baldwin, you do. The Braves, he's a catcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Horton, I'll be at you. Nope. Someone will text in a second and say, how do you not know? But I don't know who Cade Horton is. Anyway.
Paul Skeens will win the Cy Young, just so you know. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Hope everybody has a good rest of the day. Tomorrow, really excited about the Red Friday show we have planned. Alex Smith, former Chiefs quarterback, going to join us at 12:30. We'll talk to you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.